Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wait a minute before you go anywhere. There's a special person here. And I know that technically he's not a father.
Okay.
But I also know that experientially he's been a father figure to a lot of people.
Okay.
And I would like for you to honor Mr. Sam Holmes with that. Hallelujah. I have to agree with Ricardo. Y'all were really quiet this morning. And I'm just going to say that you were in the presence of the Lord and you didn't want to make any real noise to disrupt it. Because the Spirit of the Lord is here. What was that song we used to sing? The Spirit of the Lord is. And I'm going to. I can't remember it. Yeah, well, that could be, but I think that's a different one. But it's kind of the same thing. But I know that this is a special weekend for some people, and some people have gone because of their anniversary. Some are gone, I'm pretty sure, because of celebrating with their father somewhere else. But this morning, I want to share something, and this is not a Father's Day message, except that I just want you to know that there is a Father here that we didn't see this morning. Father God, Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh, He's here in our midst because you brought Him. You're a child of God. You brought Him with you. He's living inside of you. And you know, that's a concept that we just cannot comprehend. And there's a lot of things that we cannot comprehend. And I want to say this. Are you here this morning? Check yourself and see if you're here. Now, that's a pretty easy conclusion. Like I said in the bulletin, unless we're a figment of our own imagination. We are real, and we are here. And we know that we are real, and we know that we are here. But you know what? When you stop to think about it, I don't know how I got here. Now, I'm talking about in natural terms. Right now, I'm talking to you as people. Let's, for a second, just kind of let God sit over here on His throne and let us talk for a minute here till I get into what I'm going to be talking about and sharing. Even science doesn't know how we got here. But I know I'm here. And I know if I'm here, I came from somewhere. And if I sit and think about it, I would like to go all the way back and follow through the process. Neuroscience has made a lot of progress in the last few years. When I say few, I'm talking about 100 years. But I want to go back before I say anything else to the verse of Scripture that's in the bulletin. From Hebrews 11:3. By faith, you know what faith is? Faith is believing in that which is not seen. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, there's a mistake in where I typed that in the bulletin. I put a wrong word in. Where it says by things, it should say of things. Of course, it was made by things that we don't see with our natural eye, too, but it was made of things which are invisible. Now, this book was written almost 2,000 years ago. This book was written when most people didn't know anything at all about science. They didn't know much at all. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of concepts of why we're even here. And what, I mean, you know, the people that believe that the Earth was sitting on the back of a big turtle that was crawling through space. That was one of the theories of some of the ancient cultures. And how many of you have seen the picture of Atlas with the world on his shoulder? See, Atlas was the god that was carrying the world. See, we've always wanted to come up with information that we don't have. But here 2,000 years ago, and the reason I'm doing this is because this message this morning is designed for us to be able to use to direct our minds in the same in the direction they should be, particularly as we're growing older and older when we're young, that we don't see the clash between what true science is proving and what the scriptures are saying. There's some people that think there's just they're miles and miles apart. But if this is the truth and science is the truth, then they don't conflict with each other. Now, there was no way that the writer of this book could have known that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. You follow back through human thinking and you come with some strange, strange ideas of how things started. But it's by faith. It's by faith. The line that I put in the bulletin that says you go beyond, ask what happened before the Big Bang, and the most common answer among scientists is we don't know. You know why they don't know? Because they haven't developed anything to test beyond that. What was beyond that? My scripture this morning that I'm going to use is in the very first verse of the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, do you realize that Moses is the author of that book? Moses is the author of the book of Genesis. Moses lived many, 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 many decades, centuries after all this happened. If that were the case, and Moses was trying to make a case for the whole thing simply from his own thinking and his own imagination, how could he have come up with basically the same thing that science has arrived at with regard to the order of things in creation? How could he have done that? Unless he was inspired by something that he really didn't know about. Now, let me say this. No, I'm getting ahead of myself. In the beginning. Now the universe, according to science, the universe began at some point in our past, between 10 and 15 billion years ago by scientific, mathematical, etc. thinking. But the beginning of the universe is not the beginning. Science will always tell you there's something behind it. We just don't know what. It could have been this. It could have been that. One theory was that before the Big Bang happened and blew, and by the way, everything that's matter and energy, and that's all the universe is made up of, is matter and energy. From a physics point of view, every bit of the matter in the universe and every bit of the energy in the universe was all locked up in one little spot that was at the most 3 centimeters or three no 3 millimeters 3 millimeters wide. 3 millimeters. Now get a ruler that's got millimeters on it and see how big a millimeter is. You can only put your fingernail in between the two little marks from 1 millimeter to the next. So everything that exists was in that one little spot. Now I'm talking, well, you'll see the agreement. I'm bouncing back from physics to Scripture. What physics knows, what Scripture says. Because there seems to be an idea that if you accept physical science and the conclusions that it's arrived at and the things that have been proven true, that if you believe that, you can't believe the Bible. Or if you believe the Bible, you can't believe science. And that's not true. As long as it's a true interpretation of Scripture and a true mathematical, physical finding in science. It took a lot of years for scientists to even figure out about gravity. And then, supposedly, I guess it happened, I don't know, but it sounds good. Sir Isaac Newton was sitting under an apple tree and an apple fell and hit him in the head and it got him to thinking about what gravity is. Now, I don't know if that's exactly the way it happened or if that's just a folklore. But he was the one that's credited with discovering the principle of gravity. But the beginning is the beginning. Do you know what the beginning is? In the beginning, God. Beginning is when something starts. When it starts from something else. In science, the Big Bang started because of some small particles. Now, see, this is this hard for me to believe as the Scripture is for some other people to believe. That there were particles, small particles, not electrons and protons and atoms, they all came later. But these little particles that they don't understand what they were, if they were, and they don't know if they were, you're just speculating that this could be the way it was. These little particles were just popping in and out of existence. They pop into existence and then they pop out of existence. Now, how can that happen? How can you be and then not be? But how can something come out of nothing? When they were nothing, they weren't doing anything. Then they became something, and it just at the split second, at the right moment of time, there was some kind of interaction between some of these little articles popping, these little particles popping in and out of existence that caused the big bang, and it blew out everything that exists. Came out of that little hole, that little pinpoint. You know how small this planet is compared to the universe? We can't even think of this planet coming out of something like that. Now imagine, reduce Earth and everything that's on it to the size of a pinpoint. But don't take anything away from it. It's still got everything that's there, all of the mass that's there, except it's just the size of a pinpoint. And then all of a sudden, through some kind of disturbance, bang! There it was. But science will even tell you that their Big Bang theory is not the beginning. It's the beginning of the universe, but not the beginning of stuff. Now, that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, let me give you an alternate reading of that. So that the things which are real are the things which... I want to do this. From the things which are made, the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, the things that we see was made out of something invisible. Now, for the things that exist were made out of things that did not exist. That'll get you by with most physicists and quantum theory people. Sure, yeah. Bang, there it was. What does it say? Before what you see existed, there was something that existed that you didn't know about. You know what God said of himself? Jesus said of himself, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And you won't see it in your lifetime unless Jesus comes back. But the fate of the universe that physicists and astronomers and everybody, the fate of the universe is not very pretty. Either eventually one of two things is going to happen. The whole universe is going to collapse on itself and go back into that little singularity. Or it's going to keep expanding, which is it's doing now. I'm not going to argue that it's not. And it's just going to keep on expanding until all of the connectors, you know, like gravity is the thing. It's the principle that holds everything in existence the way it is. Gravity keeps the moon where it is. Gravity keeps the earth where it is. But anyway, in the future, at some point, the universe is going to just completely deteriorate. It's going to fly apart as the bonds that hold it together get weaker and weaker and weaker. That's the two ways. Well, now that covers everything, don't it? You know, somewhere in between that's got to be right. It's either going back to where it was or it's just going to fly apart. In the beginning, when something started. Now stop to think about a beginning. You know, the human mind cannot conceive of a beginning, of a starting point, of an origin. In the beginning of what we consider existing and what we know to have been, yes, we go back. I don't have any problem with a big bang. Bible says the first thing that happened was God said, let there be light. And there was light. Let there be. Come out of his mouth. That was the singularity. Bing. Came out of his mouth. Now, here's something that requires faith. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the universe in the beginning when he said. Where did God come from? You say, well, that's... He's always been. And you know, you think about that and you say, well, that couldn't be possible. But then on the other side, you think about it and you think, that's the only way it could be. Because we're here. We are here because something impossible happened. Now think of that. We're here because something impossible happened. In the beginning, God, supreme being, creator, in the beginning, God brought into existence. That's what create means, to bring into existence. In the beginning, God brought into existence the heavens and the earth. Now let me call your attention to something else that Moses wrote when he wrote that verse of scripture. God created the heavens and the earth. It didn't say God created heaven and earth. It said God created the heavens, plural. Now, people that don't believe in God, people that are agnostic, question God, don't know for sure, haven't proved it to myself yet, but I'm not saying there isn't one, I just don't know enough to say that there is. That's what an agnostic is. An atheist is one who will come out and say, I don't believe in God, period. Well, if you don't believe in God, you got a bigger problem about how you got here. If you believe in God, you can rest in faith that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But if you don't believe in God, you're going to work forever trying to figure out how you came here when there wasn't anything to come here from. And people think it takes faith to believe in God. It would take a lot of faith for me to believe that things came here from when there wasn't anything. Nothing created something. Nothing cannot create something because nothing has anything to work with. So somewhere or other, there's got to be a logical explanation for how this whole thing that we are living in got on track to begin with. And the most interesting and the most compelling thing that I know of is that there was a God that created it. The heavens. Heavens. You know, Paul talked about being caught up into the third heaven. Now they have discovered that there are layers in our atmosphere. And it's referred to as the heavens. Flew off into the heavens. But there is another heaven too, and that is the one that the angels and God and all of his children are going to be living in and are going to have access to, and where God and Jesus are now. That's one heaven. Then there are other heavens. in the physical sense, in the scientific sense. And you know, man knows very little about this planet that we live on. And that's why it's so important that we trust God. You know, there's no way to be absolutely sure, because there's never been any proven evidence that there's anybody anywhere in this whole universe except here on this planet. Now, if God made people and put them on other planets, and we've never been able to get in contact with them because of the distance, then we just have to accept that. You know, God's out there. Let me give you this interesting thing. 1927 was the first idea that the universe was created from a Big Bang. And I've explained to you. Singularity. And this is interesting. I didn't realize this. I suppose he must have been an instructor in one of their colleges or something like that. I didn't spend the time to look up his background. But the first proponent of the Big Bang theory was a Catholic priest named Lamartine. I don't know how you pronounce it because it was French. He was the one that first promoted the idea that the universe came from a Big Bang. Now, I don't know what his theology part. I don't know how that fit in there, but a theologian came up with the theory of the Big Bang. I don't have any problem if that's the way it was. I'm not going to assume that, well, God created. Sure, God created. He spoke. You know, when he spoke, something happened, and it had to come from somewhere. It came from out of his mouth. Came from the mouth of God. We understand the worlds were formed by the Word of God. The worlds were framed by the Word of God, which means to arrange, set in order, equip, adjust, complete what is lacking, make fully ready, repair, prepare. The Word is a combination of down and complete, meaning fitted. It is used for the disciples mending their nets or for restoring a fallen brethren. Same word. Getting everything right. Making it work. Everything was framed by the Word of God. And it's a shame that scientists will stand up and because they don't want it to be. People don't want to believe in God because they don't want to be accountable to Him. Humanism puts man in a position where he's accountable for himself. He's the top authority. He figures it out to suit himself. But there is an ongoing struggle between some people from a scriptural point of view, some people from a scientific point of view, that are unwilling to accept the other evidence based upon what they see or based upon the idea. I can't believe that. That was just written by a bunch of men. Well, whoever wrote Hebrews had a pretty good idea of what actually happened in the back, and I don't think he figured it out. Don't let things that are going on in the scientific world, no matter what kind of discoveries they make, because there is a whole lot left to do. Don't let them shake you in your biblical standing. You don't have to choose one or the other. You choose the truth, and the truth sets you free. If it's science and it's the truth, it will line up with this Word of God that is the truth. As many years, well, we've had 2,000 years this book's been around. Now, for 2,000 years, there's been somebody trying to prove there's something wrong with it. And the only way that you can prove that there's anything wrong with it is just shut your eyes and ignore the facts of it. There's been things that have been written in the Bible, and science didn't believe it because they hadn't discovered any of it. And therefore, you know, this is in there. It's not anywhere else. It's not in any of the other writings. It's not any of the other, no archaeological evidence or anything. Now, I'll give you a specific thing. You remember Uriah, the Hittite, that was Bathsheba's husband that David had killed? He was a Hittite from the Hittite culture, from a society that were known as Hittites. Talks in the Bible a lot about them in the Old Testament. Gives the idea that the Hittites were the first originators of iron, using iron implements and things like that. The only problem was, couldn't find any evidence that there was anybody named the Hittites, because the only place you could find out about them was in the Bible. So since we've never found any other evidence to prove it, it must be a mistake. Until about 100 years ago, when they were digging in Asia Minor, the archaeologists ran across an unexpected amount of artifacts. And the more they studied them, the more they came to the realization that what they had discovered was the Hittite culture. Even some of the pottery, some of the papyrus language on there, Hittite language, referring to there, just like the scripture. And you know, have you ever heard of the Muggletons? It's a religious group. The Muggletons. The last member of it died in 1997. But it went well into oblivion long before that. But it started in the 1800s. Named after a guy named Muggle. And their theology was that the earth is the center of the universe. And they even created maps that showed how it worked. And that since the earth was the center of the universe, everything revolved around the earth. And since the sun, you know, it's going around the earth couldn't be going around the sun. But you see, their interpretation of scripture was a little bit flawed. And sometimes there's things in scripture that we don't bother to look at because it doesn't fit in with what we want to think. And that's not the way it should be. There are still a few around, flat earth theorists, to believe the earth is flat because the Bible tells us it is. Where? God sits, I believe it's in Isaiah, God sits on the circle of the earth. Nowhere in there says the earth's flat with four corners. North, south, east, and west. That's four directions. Doesn't mean there's a corner at the end of the direction. And that was some of the big fears, even to some of the sailors that were going with Columbus when he was coming to the New World, that they were going to just get to the edge and fall over. I don't know where they expected to go when they fell over the edge, but they'd have to go somewhere. I mean, you know, we are in a container that we can't get out of. We can't get out of the universe. We are in a container that we can't get out of. Do you know what happens if you start walking right that way towards the back of the sanctuary? You start right there and you kept walking and you walked in a straight line and you never deviated from that straight line. You never went anywhere. You stayed right on that same straight line. Do you know about 25,000 miles from there, we'd see you coming in from here. Now, that's not going to happen on a flat surface. And I mean, you know, we've got airplanes, we have satellite pictures, all. It's no big problem with me that the world's like it is. I don't have a problem with it because I understand the Bible enough to know that the Bible says that. But if the sun sets still and the earth goes around it, what does it mean in the scripture when the Word of God says that the sun is in a channel, running in a channel? That was a big point of controversy. Because if we're circling the sun, how can the sun be running in a channel? Until recently, when the astronomers and the physicists and the mathematicians of quantum science and all these other things discovered that the sun is traveling at a tremendous rate of speed going somewhere. And you know where it's going? It's going where that channel that it's running in is taking it. Now, there's a reason for that. But even the scripture told us about it 2,000 years, well, even longer than that, because it was back in the Old Testament, that the earth, that the sun is in a channel. I read an article, and I like to study this kind of stuff, but you know, maybe I shouldn't say it. But as intelligent as I think I am, I can get grounded in some of the scientific areas. I understand it a little bit, but I was reading some things, I was getting the basics of it, and then it would say, you know, that's in a connection with this, and then it'd branch off onto something else, and I climbed out a few of those branches till they got pretty thin, because I was running out of understanding. But I ran across this one article that a reporter interviewed, and I didn't write his name down, I can't remember it, but he's a professor of physics at, I believe, the Chicago Institute of something. And he's pretty well known in the scientific world, but I don't know a lot of those people. They get past Einstein and Hubble. And then you start running into who are they? But he was sharing some of these things. And he's one of the ones that at the end of the article, the reporters questioned him about what happened before the Big Bang. We don't know. We don't know. He said, you can speculate it, but we don't know. Some of the models that we've set up just don't work. And The reporter asked a question, what would you like to know that you don't know now? And these were the three things he said. I would like to know what happened before the Big Bang. I would like to know exactly where we came from. The second thing, I would like to know the truth or the truthful foundations regarding time. And you know, time is something that is very mysterious. I mean, we know that we got a day and we got a night, but we got weeks and months because of things that we made, ideas and things that we came up with observing the universe. But do you realize that there's a lot of really interesting things about time? Does the past still exist? Is there a future that's already happened and we're just catching up to it? Did you know an angel came from heaven in the book of Revelation, came from heaven, set one foot on the land, one foot on the sea, and made a declaration? And do you remember what the declaration was? And the angel declared that time shall be no more. That time shall be no more. He didn't say the earth wouldn't be anymore. He didn't say the heavens wouldn't be anymore. You see what I'm saying? Just time. Now, if we are going to live for eternity, why do we need time? If God is the Alpha and the Omega, everything begins in Him and ends in Him, wouldn't you say that He Himself, in our concept of it, is time? He is time. Time is relative. You always got to relate to something or something else. There was a man with a big bunch of gray hair that was all fuzzy on his head, had a little mustache, and looked kind of nerdy. He dropped out of high school because he failed high school. Same as Albert Einstein. He came up with the theory of relativity, that everything is relative to something else. And that's the basis for all of science. Now, picture this. We are in a solar system. Y'all know they remember from school. We're in a solar system with 9 planets, or maybe they might have thought they've discovered another one out there somewhere. But we grew up in a solar system with the sun in the middle and 9 planets going around it. And it's the solar system. It's our solar system among many, many solar systems. And that solar system is in a galaxy, and that galaxy we named the Milky Way. Now, they have discovered a planet in the Milky Way that's supposedly twice the age of Earth. They call it the Blue Planet, and he thought we were the Blue Planet. They call it the Blue Planet because that's what's coming back. This is indicating it's blue. Twice as old as the Earth. Why isn't there any life there trying to contact us? As much as we believe in life everywhere else, we don't have any real good evidence that it's there. We have to just imagine, well, since we're here, they got to be there. That's faith. You got faith, maybe that there's other places, that there's other planets, and there's other people. I don't know that there's not. But I do know one thing. If there is, they have the same God we do. He's their creator too. Now, there's a lot of other interesting things in science that they've just begun to discover. That we've had the information all along in that book. You ever heard of what they call the red shift? It's radiation that they found that goes all the way back to the beginning. And when they test it, no matter which direction from Earth they test it, it's always the same results. And it's moving outward. From somewhere close to where we are. It's the same strength in that direction of space, and it's the same strength in that direction of space, and whichever way you point into space, it's going to be the same direction. Maybe these people, the Muggletons, didn't know what they were doing and did it under crazy biblical interpretation. And then maybe there's something to the fact that we might be all there is. Well, why would God have created something so expansive? What would he have stopped it with? Would he build a wall out there and stop it? See, don't get confused about things where you pick up something in a newspaper and some scientific theory or something that's going to threaten your theology if you believe it. Holy Spirit inside of you will tell you. Scientists didn't know for just recently about a substance called black matter. That's what holds the universe together. Black matter. Because most of the universe is space. But black matter holds everything together. All moving in black matter. And you know what the scripture says in Colossians? It says that Jesus is the glue that holds everything together. It's God. I'm sure you've heard the example. Take all the pieces of an expensive Swiss watch and put them in a box. Just the pieces. All the pieces you need to put them in that to put that watch together to make it work. Put it in a box. Put a lid on it. Start shaking it. And how long will it be before you open that box and there's that watch completely put together with all everything in the right place and it's running until the time? That would take years. That would take decades. That would take centuries. That would take millennium or millennia. And I don't know where he goes beyond that. Eons, maybe. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, you'd get wore out shaking before that box ever produced that watch. And yet scientists want us to believe that everything exists, comes out of nothing, And it eventually, through a process of time, created itself. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I will not even get into the multi-universe idea. But I do want to share one other thing. Science has discovered a particle. A particle. And there's different ones, but this is a specific one, but I can't remember the adjective in front of it or the its given name. But in general, they're referred to as neutrinos. They're smaller than anything we've ever seen. They're smaller than electrons. They're smaller than protons. Smaller than atoms. Of course, that would be bigger. Oh, and I meant to say this a while ago. I got sidetracked. I chased a rabbit. That solar system, the atoms in your body are made the same way. There's a center, and then there's electrons and protons and neutrons and electrons going around and around the protons in the middle. It looks just like a little universe. I mean, a little solar system. And I'll get back to that in a second. Because I do have one other thing I want to say about it. With regard to Well, since I was on time, let's just go ahead and do it. If that atom that your body is made up of millions and billions of, if that atom were a solar system and it had life on it, some of those little neutrons and electrons or little planets with life on them, little mini, mini, mini sized people, that while 1 second of time passed for us, generations would pass for them. That's the thing of relativity. So now if we are an atom, if the sun and all the planets around it, the nine planets, if we are an atom in something larger than we are, then whatever it is that we're in that's larger than we are, their time compared to us here is moving mighty slow. Because a day for us might be a millisecond for them. And if God is as big as we say He is, and we are part of Him, and all of creation He is involved in, and Jesus is the glue that holds everything together, and we're down on our level of time, and God's out there so big that He's beyond time, and yet we're still experiencing it, you know, that can kind of fit into with the Lord. A day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. 1,000 years for us is a day for God. And a day for God will be 1,000 years for us. So He's only been gone a couple of days. Just a couple of days. In His time frame. We're the ones that get all upset about time. Now back to the neutrinos. These little particles are so minute, but there are when it comes to how many. They are just super abundant. And they are all around us. They are particles of matter. See, because matter is just simply a buildup of particles. One cell, one atom gets with another atom and another atom, and then finally it comes out looking like us when you put all those atoms together. But there are just innumerable. And you run into them, or they run into you, all the time. Sunlight have an effect on you. Just the sunlight, the rays of the sun. They'll sunburn you, won't they? They have an effect on you. Radioactive particles. You get exposed to them, they have an effect on you. Ultraviolet light have an effect on you. Affects the things around. Neutrinos pass through us, come in contact with us all the time. Constantly. It's happening right now. And yet, when that neutrino goes through you, it has absolutely no reaction. No reaction at all. Passes right through you. Doesn't hurt the neutron. You don't even know it. Changes nothing. Now that may just not sound like much to you. But you know when I read that, I just smiled and I thought, I wonder if that's possible. I wonder if it's possible. You know, the Bible says we'll have a new body. Now, I don't know what Jesus' body was. I don't know what his new body was after he was resurrected. But he had a body. His body was resurrected, but it was changed. Because when the disciples were gathered together, he walked through the wall to get to them. And none of that wall and none of his body interacted with each other. He just walked through the wall as if it wasn't there. His body just came through the wall as if it wasn't anything there. They made no blend. I mean, you know, you start thinking about things in Scripture. Well, how could that have been? Jesus walked through the wall, you know what? Or materialized from one place to another. Didn't matter what he went through, he got there and never bothered it. It never bothered him. Maybe our new bodies will be neutrinos. Totally made up of neutrinos. It won't, that won't ever suffer anything from anything. It'll always be just exactly perfect. With no interaction. In other words, you run into somebody in heaven, y'all just run right through each other and not even bother you. I don't know about that, but you know, there's a lot of things that science is coming up with that if you'll really take the time, instead of just saying, well, the Bible didn't say that, you make sure what the Bible says before you start judging time, before it's physics and science, you make sure what the Bible says before you start accepting something. But you live in a world that's pressuring you. Pressuring you to believe one way or another. And then the thing about time, the final thing about time, don't get hung up on how God did it. Just be satisfied in yourself that God did it. He did it the way he did it. He did it the way it was supposed to be done. He did it right. And we are the ones that have to figure it out, or just leave it alone and accept it and understand by faith. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Just believe in God. There is a God. and he is not dead. Now I get to preach again next Sunday because of Sister Shirley. My message next Sunday is going to be, has anyone seen Jesus? Has anyone seen Jesus? Think about that for a week. Let's stand. Now, I didn't preach a message this morning to get you saved, because I've got a real good high probability guess that all of us in here this morning are. But what I gave you today is something for you to be able to just believe in. Hey, I'm not crazy just because I believe the Bible. Because people out there, you mean you still believe the Bible? Well, nobody's ever proved anything wrong with it yet. So why shouldn't I believe it? And some of these other things, the theories. You know, it wasn't called the Big Bang fact. It's the Big Bang theory. No. But these are things, and just common things that we're, and especially if you're in school. Yeah. So, trust it. It's pretty reliable. Pretty reliable. It'll get you through. Give you peace. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for you, Lord God, we wouldn't have what we have. We wouldn't have families. I'm going to stop in my prayer because I believe it was God. I forgot to tell you the third thing that scientist said he'd like to know. And I guess it's really important because I just felt like the Lord said you forgot something. His third thing that he would like to understand, to know about it, and to understand is consciousness. Why are we conscious about things around us? Why can we think? Why can we imagine? Why can we create? In the sense of taking what's already there and making something new out of it. Why are we even self-conscious? In a natural world, without a God and without some other being greater than us, like angels, and why would there even be consciousness? See, scientists don't know everything. They're still wondering about some stuff, too. We're conscious because God made us that way. It's all we need to know. We don't have to prove it. We just know it. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Well, Lord, thank you. Bless their week. Whatever they face, all of the things, all of the issues, the things we read on TV, in the news, the things that we hear on the radio, the things that we see on TV, things that we get from Twitter and Facebook and all the other sources of information. Help us, Lord God, to be able to distinguish between what is truth and what isn't, and how we don't have to give up the truth of your word because it conflicts with some other truth. It's never been proven that scriptures have conflicted with anything that's ever been discovered. And we thank you, Lord God, that we can say that. You gave us your word, and you keep it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a good week.